right now on VFN TV. Can you imagine just north of Israel in Syria if they had a nuclear bomb, a nuclear weapon, a facility to build nuclear weapons? You think that'd be crazy? What actually happened in 2007? But we're going to talk to you how Israel annihilated the issue. It's just now being uncovered what's going on. Also, we're going to celebrate over 13,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel today on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
We have some news we're going to cover in a moment. But listen, we are celebrating
13,000
subscribers on our first year of YouTube, or having a YouTube channel. Thank you so much for subscribing.
Yes.
Every one of you means so much to us. We're so pumped about having our 13,000. As a matter of fact, we had a moment to celebrate that right here in the studio this morning. Check it out. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for subscribing. Share it with your friends. We have so many great things you're going to be doing with the Seven Mountains, with VFN KB, and all the things that are going on. Thank you for subscribing. Well, John?
Yes. Well, listen, so much has been uncovered. It's going to be an amazing program. I want you to stay close to it, as we just found out that Israel destroyed a nuclear reactor covertly in 2007.
Of course, it's not 2007, but it just got uncovered,
yes,
right?
Yes, just got uncovered. In fact, the Haaretz is a publication that's based in Israel, and they did this amazing story. We're going to be sharing some of the details of this story. In fact, we want to read to you straight from this article, and we're going to have some interviews and some actual footage of what took place.
We're talking like miles away from Israel,
a couple miles.
And really, it's like the peninsula of Syria, so if you went straight over where they had this nuclear facility there in 2007... I mean, and you're going to be talking about if ISIS would have had that by now, because ISIS set up their caliphate in that area. This is so exciting to know that they stopped it. They saved the world.
Israel again saved the world.
Yes.
All right. Was this no longer a secret how Israel destroyed Syria's nuclear reactor? It was one of the Israeli army's most successful operations, but it was censored for over a decade. Now Haaretz, an investigation, goes behind the scenes of the 2007 strike on the cube.
And they called it the cube because they found a building that looked like a cube.
Yeah.
But they didn't even know it existed. You're going to tell us
how it came to pass.
And it had to do with Libya as well as it started in Libya.
But you're getting ahead of
yourself.
Okay,
go ahead.
So the cube, shortly before it became an active nuclear reactor, from the intelligence failures and American foot dragging to the arguments at the top levels and the threats of total war with Syria. This is being reported by Amos Harrell. This is the story of a single night more than a decade ago and a daring, hair-raising operation executed by the Israeli Air Force Army and intelligence community that destroyed an atomic plant in northern Syria. Yet no less, it is also a story of a big intelligence failure, the worst since Yom Kippur, because they had no idea that this thing was being done.
Of course, Yom Kippur is the 1967
Six-Day War.
Six-Day War, yes.
According to a number of top intelligence people, in which Israel somehow managed for years not to notice a reactor being built right under its nose.
Literally.
Yes.
Because the width of Israel is only, 60 miles
60
wide.
Miles.
And just a little bit to the east of that, you're looking at this cube nuclear reactor.
So this thing was being built right underneath their nose in a neighboring country on whose surveillance Israel was spending a vast amount of money. So they just totally missed it. The operation was the finest hour of a prime minister who just a year earlier had led Israel into a failed war in Lebanon, and who no less than 2 years later would be compelled to resign before going on to serve a prison term for crimes of corruption. And it was also the start of an intense hostility between that prime minister and his defense minister, which took root during that summer of 2007, of the impassioned war over who among the top brass in the military organizations deserved the credit.
Yeah, I want to say this, you know, the fact that so many of you and so many of our community and just around the world are praying for Israel.
Yeah.
You pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the only way these things can really be revealed, if God allows them to be revealed.
Absolutely.
And this was not revealed to them at this point. And
it
so,
was under their nose and they missed it.
And think about this. And this is like, you know, Mossad. These are guys that really know what's
who know
going
everything.
On. And but your prayers, praying for Israel,
yes.
I really believe just touched this small nation of presently only 8 million folks to be able to discover, you know, what's happening. So when you're thinking about how do your prayers affect Israel, listen, this is something that they didn't know about. But as you're going to hear John read about it, they're going to find out about it. And it's going to be revealed. And I really believe it's because God heard your prayers as you're praying for Israel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the article continues to say that it's especially surprising that this is also the story of a secret that was maintained for a long time here in Israel, despite the considerable personal interest of a number of those who are now involved in its publication. Only now, more than a decade later, has the military censor allowed the Israeli media to report the history of this affair. And even that, it's still with restrictions. So there's still things they still are not releasing. The Haaretz investigation of the bombing of the nuclear reactor is based on conversations with 25 of the individuals who were involved in the operation and in the events connected to it in Israel and the United States. One of the key figures who led to the decision to bomb the Sirion reactor, the head of the Mossad, Meir Dagan, died in March last year.
And the Mossad, of course, is their key cream of the crop.
Oh yeah,
military. That's their that's their Navy SEALs. That's
oh yeah,
their, yeah.
This is the group that when the Israeli Olympians were assassinated, they were killed.
Right.
They were sent to hunt down
in
the
Libya.
Killers.
Was it Libya during that time, or
it was one of those countries?
Africa?
Yeah.
But I know that.
And they got him.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's brother went there. To help, remember?
Yeah, to rescue
And
them.
That's where he got
killed
yeah, rescuing killed. Those hostages. Well, listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to hear more as John's revealing this cutting news story, what happened in 2007, but it's being uncovered right now. Your prayers matter. Join us after the break.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. Doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. We're going to join with John as he's revealing a present-day story that was revealed, what happened in 2007 with a nuclear reactor capabilities in Syria, just over the border in Israel, and how it was thwarted because of the intelligence and the military of the Mossad, the military,
Israeli IDF.
Defense, IDF's Mossad. It was just so powerful, John.
Yes, well, listen, back into this article, they are crediting the prime minister at that time, which is Ehud Olmert, the Mossad chief Meir Dagan, and Israel Defense Commander Eliezer Askedi. I hope I pronounced it right. But the article continues with the cube, and they give the dimensions of this building, a large cubicle building that was still under construction in the heart of the Syrian desert, not far from Deir Zawar, was a focus of the Israeli defense establishment starting from the end of 2006. Very quickly, it was given the name The Cube. As months went by, the suspicion grew that beneath this broad roof of the building hid President Bashar Assad's secret flagship project, a nuclear reactor produced in North Korea.
So North Korea provided them allegedly the building blueprint to be able to build this thing.
Correct.
And it's, you know, we're looking at Assad now, and Syria's been a mess with ISIS and all the infighting and the civil war going on, with over 500,000 people have been killed, and you don't hear any cry.
Nothing.
For the 500,000 people that are killed there.
And gas that was used.
Can you imagine, John, if this nuclear facility would have been there during this time? ISIS would have had it.
Exactly.
But this is how it was thwarted. Okay.
Yeah. They intended to provide the younger Assad with the achievement that had eluded his father, Hafez Assad, on the battlefield and between wars, to lead toward the point of strategic balance that could cancel out Israel's clear military and technological advantage. So they were wanting to get, you know, some leverage, if you will, in the Middle East.
Well, cancel out the awesome IDF, and that's what Iran is trying to do right now, trying to get the nuclear capabilities. And immediately at that point, they says, if you try to mutual destruction, if you do anything to us, we'll destroy you. And
but that's part of their end time theology, that their Messiah,
Islam,
if you will, Islam's end time theology must come in chaos and must come in war. So they're probably okay with mutual destruction. They think their end is near. But
that's why it's so important that they brought in the new ambassador. They're not the new ambassador, but the new national intelligence advisor.
Bolton.
Is it John Bolton?
I think it's John Bolton.
Or Bolton, because he understands this is the same threat today that Iran has against the world, has against Israel, if they get nuclear capabilities. And this nuke deal is a bad deal, and they say either fix it or nix it. This is what they're talking about. They have to either take it out if they don't remove it. If they're not, they're saying they'll totally it'll cause Israel not to have any defense at all.
This is a big deal because Israel has done this before in 1981 in Iraq. They snuck into the nuclear facility in Iran and put Stuxnet. It was this virus that made their centrifuges spin out of control and destroy them.
They kept spinning until it burned them up.
It's the only way they could destroy it, by getting someone on the inside. They have people that are willing to risk their lives for their safety. And now in Syria, they actually destroyed this nuclear reactor. The world is a safer place because of Israel and because of their soldiers, and we owe them a debt of gratitude.
And not only that, but Bolton, who now is the national security advisor, I believe,
correct,
to President Donald Trump, when they actually discovered the nuclear, when they actually came and dismantled the nuclear plant in Libya, it was Bolton. Oh, is it John Bolton? It's Bolton, I know.
Yeah.
And he's the one that brought it all the way back to Tennessee. All the nuclear material. I mean, this man knows. He's a wonderful advisor, it looks like, to be able to help advise the president how to make sure that, just like Syria didn't need a nuclear capabilities, Iran definitely needed it.
And look what we're dealing with, North Korea, with a madman who at any moment has his fingers on the nukes and is tempting us and the rest of the world by launching these rockets and these missiles straight up near Japan, near South Korea, and is threatening the United States.
And we're discovering why we have to stop. There's no choice whatsoever to stop North Korea from having any nuclear weapons at all, because they already shared their technology with Syria,
exactly,
Assad's father, and they were building a identical plant, we're going to find out. And so when you're looking at why do we need to deal with North Korea, they gave the blueprints
away.
And that came because of President Bill Clinton, helping them get nuclear
energy. This whole
energy
thing of appeasement as well. I mean, you got to deal with radical people, man. You try to deal with them.
Right. What's that?
Well, the article says that the first indication of the Syria's regime's interest in purchasing nuclear research facilities came to the notice of Israel and the Western countries in the late 1990s, towards the end of the elder Assad's rule. However, Israel began to pay serious attention to that inclination only after the discovery of a serious intelligence gap in another country. And this is really interesting. They talk about what happened in Libya.
Well, I think we have right here. Take a look at this image right here. You're seeing this is actually in Syria, where you're looking at the cube at right there. You see the Euphrates on the left over here. You can see the Euphrates. And look how close it is to the Euphrates. You're looking at 1 kilometer. Yeah. You're probably looking at, you know, just less than a mile.
You got a pumping station. If you look at the upper left-hand corner, you see what the North Korean reactor looked like, and you look at what the Syrian reactor looked like. They're almost identical in size and length and in width.
Yeah,
it's pretty
fact,
amazing.
Yeah, take a look at this. Just you see this right here. If you can see this, yeah, you're looking at right here. This is why they call it a cube, because the building looked like a cube. And what John's going to talk about is how this is really a facade, because they built a curtain building over the building even right there. But this is the Euphrates right here, the Euphrates River. This is only 1 kilometer away from Euphrates River. You're looking at this is major. And now look over here at the building here in Syria, the reactor in 2007. And look over here in North Korea. When you get this curtain building they built, really kind of a real thin skin curtain building around it, it looks exactly like the one in North Korea. This is why we have to support our president, support our government in stopping North Korea from having any form of nuclear capabilities at all. John?
Well, listen, this is what they begin to unfold. On December the 19th, 2003, on a Saturday morning, this is what the account is. I turned on the radio and heard on a news broadcast that the Americans and the British have persuaded Libya to dismantle its nuclear program, says Aman Sufrin, who was the head of the intelligence division at the Mossad. The next morning, I assembled my people and I said we had experienced two total failures here. One, we had absolutely no idea that such a program even existed. This is referring to Libya.
Right.
And second, we didn't know that negotiations to dismantle it had been going on for 8 months.
Which John Bolton, who's now the national advisor, security yeah. advisor to the president, was part of having that dismantled and escorting it over. But nobody knew about this.
And they pride themselves on knowing.
Yes.
They were
well, you
shocked.
Have to. When you're 8 million people
sure.
and so many people are against you.
Know.
I mean, think about all the UN resolutions that came against them. And it's like you have to pay attention. Yeah.
Well, this is what the head of the Mossad continues to say. We started to back analyze, or if you will, reverse engineer the Libyan program and try to figure out where else in the region similar programs could be hiding. According to Sufrin, after a month and a half of investigating, the Mossad research team concluded that Syria was working on a nuclear program of its own.
So they're finding out that when they saw it taking place in Libya and dismantled it, that gave them the ability to understand it was happening right under their nose in Syria that you're seeing right here. Listen, we come back from this break, we're going to find out more details. And this is strategic because right now, how far has Iran already gotten in regards to nuclear weapons?
We have footage. We're going to actually show you
yes.
this mission and how it took place and how this thing was absolutely destroyed with pinpoint precision. Join us when we get right back from this break.
We'll be right back. This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The ability for abstract reasoning is diminishing in our time. When you really start with a minor premise and a major premise, build a syllogism and enter into a deduction, the average person loses you halfway through because they have come to their conclusions on the basis of images prior to that, and the capacity for abstract reasoning has been gone. And I believe Jacques Ellul, the French sociologist dealing with technology, is right when he entitles our ability to perceive today as a process where there has been a humiliation of the word. The exaltation is in images. The humiliation has taken place in the written process.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
I want to welcome our VFN TV audience, our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday. Also, our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. If you've been missing our program, or you're saying, I wish I would have got that or would have got this. If you sign up for the Torch newsletter, go to VFNTV.com. And I believe in the upper right-hand corner, it says newsletter sign up. Just go there.
Mm-hmm.
And every single week, you're going to get a summary of what happened that week in a way that you can just kind of glance right through it and say, what do you want to watch? What do you want to hear? What do you want to share? And we want to make sure whatever way you can get it. But by signing up for The Torch, you know, that makes that possible for you. In other words, You can listen throughout the week, but you can summarize it at the end of the week to make sure that you didn't miss something that you need to know.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You're gonna see firsthand this. You know, we've been talking about the nuclear capabilities that Syria had, how it was revealed through Libya, and how North Korea sold them the blueprints. But we're fixing to go firsthand to see the video of it actually taking place, John.
In fact, let's go take a look.
Tell them what it is, though.
Well, yeah, this is the actual footage of the attack where three F-15 fighter jets, Israeli pilots, flew them into covert mission. No one knew anything about it to destroy this nuclear reactor. You're going to see this pinpoint precision of Israel and how they actually take care of business. Watch this. Each plane is armed with a different type of bomb in order to ensure the planes enter Syrian airspace from Mediterranean Sea at a low altitude. Pilots maintain radio silence, keeping the operation covert. 12:40 a.m., the jets arrived over the target, codenamed the Cube. The planes fly over the Cube for approximately 3 minutes. Each of the eight planes drop two bombs. 12:45 a.m., one of the planes reports Arizona. The planes return flying at low altitude along the exit route on the Turkish border. One of the planes dumps a fuel tank, which lands on the Turkish side of the border. 1:30 a.m., the planes land in Israel.
That is so amazing when you're looking at, you know, this thing taking place. But that happened because it started in Libya. They discovered what was taking place in Libya, gave them the idea, we've got to start looking for this happening here
elsewhere,
near us.
Yeah.
And they missed this cube all along, which is the building. It's not really a cube. Underneath it, it looks just like the nuclear reactor in North Korea that presently that we are needing to deal with, and we're finding out why we need to deal with North Korea, why we need to deal with Iran, because if this would have happened, it totally would have eliminated the military power of Israel.
In fact, we're going to go straight to an F-15 pilot who was on this mission, cut to 4406, and you're going to hear him speak about this mission. Watch.
We reached to the target, the region of the target, after a very long flight in low level, dark night. And we popped up to the high level, and then we released the bombs in a coordinated, sequenced order. After the moment of releasing the bombs from the airplane, you wait between 10 to 30 seconds, and then you see on the ground a big explosion. And after this big explosion, you see that the target is completely demolished, and it's a great honor and a great feeling. We understood the historic significance of this moment. We all learned the attack on the Iraqi nuclear reactor in 1981, the OPERA operation, and we all knew it by heart. And this was the next time that the State of Israel decided to attack a nuclear reactor, and we understood completely the significance and what is the meaning for the future of the State of Israel.
We're going to go straight to this article, what led to the breakthrough in this whole uncovering of what happened in Syria. This is being reported by Haaretz, and this is the alleged story, as some of these details have not come out yet. This is the smoking gun in Vienna. The next breakthrough, in fact, that the turning point of this whole affair occurred in Vienna early May 2007. Israel has never officially acknowledged or accepted responsibility for it, and the following is based on an investigative report published by the American journalist David Makovsky in the New Yorker in 2012. According to the report, Ibrahim Othman, head of the Syrian Atomic Energy Commission, had come to Austria to participate in the deliberations of the International Atomic Energy Agency. A cell of Mossad agents from the Keshet unit broke into the apartment where Otham was staying, and within less than an hour vacuumed up the information that was on Syrian officials' personal computer, which had remained in the apartment while he was taking part in the conference. Othman's negligence turned out to be the worst security offense in the history of Syria. Had it not been for this carelessness and the Mossad's brilliant work, it is doubtful that the operation to destroy the reactor would have taken place.
It's amazing. So Mossad actually came into his hotel room while he was down in a conference and pulled all that information off of his computer.
And got the whole
clarified what was going on. Without that, there would have been nuclear. ISIS would have had a nuclear weapon right there in Syria.
And the world would have been terrorized.
What did Prime Minister Bibi say?
In fact, we're going to go. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu actually released a statement on this on Twitter that says the Israeli government, the Israel Defense Forces, and the Mossad prevented Syria from developing nuclear capability. They are worthy of full praise for this. It's Israel's policy was and remains consistent to prevent our enemies from arming themselves with nuclear weapons. So we can make no mistake about it that Israel will not permit Iran to have a nuclear reactor. And thank God we have a president that is willing to stand
with
Israel.
And so I want to say this, you know, as we're closing out over here, it's just praying for Israel. This is a God encounter where all of a sudden this stuff just like dominoes starts happening. And having John Bolton in there advising President Trump during this time, because he was part of that taking place in Libya and the progression all the way to Syria, North Korea. God, this is
it's amazing.
The mercies of God on the earth. We got to go. I got to be praying for you. But listen, comment below. You know, what are your thoughts on this? You know, write to us. You know, email us. We love hearing from you and our community. And this is exciting. Thanks for praying for Israel. As a matter of fact, let's just pray right now. I want to pray for you. Father God, we just bless our community. We speak strength. We thank you for protecting Israel. We just pray even now, God, that you would end the nuclear plans in North Korea, that you would end the nuclear plans in Iran, God. And Lord, and we just declare by faith, God, we just decree by faith that revival is here. Great awakening is here. And abortion has ended in America. We just decree it by faith in Jesus' name. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved, that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else. And you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.